A reading from the book of Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion. To the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless, poor, into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commanded ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of Christ. Do you remember the game Tribond? The one where you were given three items or people's names or dates and you had to come up with what they had in common? I love playing that game. It was something we used to do when I visited my sister and her family over the Christmas holidays. And I can say, I was pretty good at it. Well, here are three things for you: anniversaries, New Year's, and the start of the school year. What do these three things have in common? I'll let you think about that for a minute. Oh, yeah, that's pretty lame. Any better ideas? For me, these times were when I paused to reflect and take stock of where I was in life. For me, the anniversary was my birthday, but for another, it could be their wedding. It's a time to think back on the last year, or maybe even since the wedding, to ask oneself, how far have I come? Is it like I expected it would be? If not, how is it different? Different good? Different bad? Maybe just different. And what about going forward? Where do I want to take myself in the next year? Or for someone who's married, where do I want to take this relationship? And how are we going to make that happen? Then there's New Year's, notorious for resolutions. And those resolutions usually last, at most, a few weeks. We all seem to want to do better, get that raise, eat less, exercise more, etc., etc., etc. I think the problem with the resolutions is we really don't count the cost, and we don't put a realistic plan together. Then the third one. For me, the night before the first day of school in the fall was a time I stopped and thought about what was coming in the morning. A new year, a new grade, new teachers, new subjects, and sometimes even a new school. I would ask myself, what would success look like, and would I achieve it? I asked and prayed about how I was going to face what was coming. The church calendar provides us with a similar time of reflection, looking back and looking forward. That time is Lent, and it starts today. Lent is a time used to prepare for Easter, the 40 days in honor of Jesus' 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. In those 40 days, he lay the groundwork of prayer, fasting, and self-denial, upon which he stepped out into the world to begin preaching, teaching, and healing. How do we prepare for Easter? Traditionally, Lent has been a time of repentance and penance, becoming mindful of our sinfulness in the sight of a holy God, all in preparation to better appreciate God's grace to us in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and ultimately the resurrection when Easter finally arrives. Some preachers use this opportunity to speak of how Lent is a time when we remind ourselves how there is no good thing in us, and we must grovel before God in the hope that God will let us see Easter come. That's not my message. And I would suggest that that shouldn't be anybody's message. Lent is not a punishment. Lent is a tool for us to use. To what end? To lead us into personal transformation into who God intends each of us to be. And how do we use Lent as a tool of transformation? Lent can be used as a time of personal reflection and examination of our life in God, not in the sense of judgment, but in the sense of honesty with ourselves before God. There are some words in the American Prayer Book that I find particularly meaningful. It's in the beginning of the confession that starts morning prayer. The words go like this: "We have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts." And then it goes on to the usual, we've done what we ought not to have done, and we've left undone the things we ought to have done, and goes on. But to me, these first words capture the essence of sin. That is our waywardness from God's instructions about what makes for a happy and fulfilling life. We err and we stray. We trust too much in our own devices and desires. I have asked myself, what are devices and desires of our own hearts? Well, device to me implies mechanism or a machine to get something done. So I see devices in this context as how we go about doing things. The desires, well, that would be the goal of our actions. So too much we tend to use our own ways to achieve our own ends rather than God's ways to achieve what he has revealed as good and proper goals for us. And notice that the words are, we trust too much in the devices and desires of our hearts. Not that the devices and desires are all bad. We are tasked with discerning where we follow God's ways and work to proper ends, and where we selfishly go our own way in error and straying. And this takes wisdom. As we grow more and more into the mind of Christ, our desires and our devices, that is, our means and our ends, will align with God's for us. And that is what Lent is about. Reflecting on how closely aligned are our thoughts and words and actions with those God would have of us. And when we honestly think about our means and our ends, we can choose God's way instead of our way. Lent is a time when we can pause in the march of days to reflect on our life as followers of Jesus and recommit ourselves to following his teaching and his example of living a life of self-denial, sacrifice, and service for others. Traditionally, Lent focuses on almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Now, we can do these things because it's what is done during Lent, but I want us to consider them as tools or disciplines for the purpose of inner reflection and personal transformation. In our gospel reading, we read about these three practices. The giving of alms or giving to the poor was part of Jewish piety. The Pharisees did it regularly. They used it as a means to an end. For them, it was an opportunity to be seen, to stroke their egos, gain status, and be proud of themselves. And what does Jesus say about their use of giving? Not that the giving was wrong, but that they were doing it for the wrong reason. They had already received their reward, he says. Our giving should be a private affair between me and God. Yes, the poor and needy benefit from our giving, But the act of giving is good for the giver as well. Like the Pharisees, our giving can be a means to an end. Not so we can feel good about ourselves or tick off the box of things you do during Lent. That would be rather hollow. Giving is something that can work to transform us into being like Jesus and helping us to become Christ-like. How? Well, in Bible days, it was customary to give 10% of one's produce, crops, and the increase in your flocks. This was called the tithe. The word is still used in church language. You just don't hear it a whole lot. And today, we consider percents. It could be more, like 15 or 20%, or it could be less, like 5 or 2 or 1. In deciding what to give, we usually ask ourselves, how much can I afford? I would suggest that is the wrong question to be asking. Change the question and you change your perspective. God gives us our wages, our commissions, our earnings on investment, our CPP, our OAS, and allows us to decide how we will use that money. A new question to ask ourselves would be, how much do I keep of what God has provided for me? 90%? 95%? 99%? 100%? Recall the words we use in the offertory. Of thine own have we given thee. Change the question and you change your perspective. Think of a young teenager who is asked to clean his room. He can do it grudgingly because his parents ask or maybe insist. Or he could recognize the privilege he has of having space in the family home set apart for his private and uninterrupted use. All that is asked in return is that he keeps the space tidy. With a change in perspective, the teen can act out of gratitude instead of compulsion. Lent is a time to consider giving to charity in a new way or as a new practice, in recognition that all we have comes from God. That attitude puts us on the path of personal transformation into being like Christ. Giving can be a tool of self-denial, sacrifice, and service to others. The next traditional activity in Lent is prayer. Prayer is being intentionally in the presence of God. We may spend the time speaking, but there's also listening and thinking and just being. We can be sitting or standing, kneeling or lying. We can be still, we can be moving, we can be walking, we could even be driving. Any time of stillness or of a repetitive task that doesn't take a whole lot of brain activity is an opportunity to engage the Spirit in prayer. There are numerous ways to pray. As Anglicans, we like written prayers, and we have plenty in the Book of Common Prayer and in the Book of Alternative Services. Or, of course, we can use our own words. Even another way is to speak or sing back to God the words of Scripture, and the Psalms are especially good for this. In our gospel reading, the Pharisees pray, and Jesus, again, does not condemn them, the praying, but the reason why they do it. They pray to be seen and heard by others. Again, it's a pride thing. And Jesus said, they have received their reward. Like giving, Jesus teaches us that our prayer should be done in secret, as something private between us and God. There are 24 hours in a day, and they are mine to determine how I use them. So I ask myself, can I give 10 or 15 or 30 minutes of intentional attention to God in prayer? What I find personally is daily prayer is a way of reminding myself what is important. It keeps my perspective away from what I want and has me focus on God and God's ways and desires. And there are lots of helps for daily prayer. Again, as Anglicans, we like that. We have our prayer books, like I said. We have devotional booklets, like the Day by Day that we've got down in the narthex. There are traditional devotionals, and I got some here if you want to look at them. Some of us has used the Gospels as presented in the books of the 50-day challenge with their daily readings and reflection and prayer. Each week we have readings on Sunday, and those can be revisited through the week and prayed over. And there are tools to keep us consistent and on track. There are a whole whack of cell phone apps out there. And they even like notify you, hello, it's time to pray. Or you could use prayer beads or candles, or even get together with somebody else and promise each other that you will spend time in prayer. And then they can check up on you and see if you're doing it. Lent is a time to consider taking on a new practice or a regular practice in a new way as a means of transformation. Maybe prayer is the one for you. The last of the three traditional Lent activities is fasting. In Bible times, going without food for a period of time was common. And the Pharisees in our reading were known to go about looking miserable, so everybody knew they were being pious and fasting. And again, Jesus condemns not the practice, but their purpose. And he says they've already received their reward. Instead of working to look haggard, Jesus instructs his followers to carry on as usual. Today he might say something like, take a shower, wash your hair, get dressed and go about your business as usual. Like giving and prayer, fasting is something between you and God, something private. But fasting, like giving and praying, is also a means to an end, not an end in itself. In the church traditionally, fasting has been a discipline of self-denial. It may be denying oneself any food for a time, but sometimes it focuses on giving up a specific food for a period of time. Everybody's heard of Fish Friday, right? The tradition of no meat on Fridays was something that the church came up with for faithful parishioners in honor of Good Friday and Jesus' crucifixion. The idea of fasting in Lent today has become the modern question, what are you giving up for Lent? Coffee? Chocolate? Fasting can be done grudgingly or to tick off that thing you do in Lent. But I suggest we approach it thankfully and expectantly. God has given us all good things for our use. And we are fortunate that we have an almost unlimited supply of good things available to us. We can recognize our unlimited access to most anything we want by denying ourselves something for a period of time. It may be food, traditionally solid food during daylight hours. Or we may deny ourselves something else we do or use or enjoy. Maybe it's social media or electronic games. Maybe TV or movies or music. It could be something like, no radio while I'm driving. I'm going to instead use this time to think and to pray. And it's a discipline. It's something we use to train ourselves in self-denial. Giving alms, praying, and fasting are the traditional Lent disciplines, but you can be creative. You can add an activity rather than refrain from something. Perhaps you could intentionally contact family and friends by writing letters or sending emails or giving them a call. You could invite somebody over or meet them for coffee to let them know you're thinking of them. Or you could volunteer some time somewhere or donate some things to a charity. Just remember that whatever you take on or give up, it should be in honor of the self-giving nature of Christ and in pursuit of your transformation to be more like Jesus. With some creativity and commitment and perseverance, and of course with the sustaining help of the Holy Spirit, It is possible for us to do this. So ask yourself, what could I take on as a new practice for these 40 days of Lent? Will it be giving money or time or goods to others? Perhaps it would be making time each day to intentionally meet with God to listen and talk and be honest. Or maybe fasting from some part of my daily life in recognition of the goodness of God to appreciate and be thankful for all I have. Maybe that's what I would want to do. Think how much more meaningful Easter would be when you can take that thing up again. Or maybe it's going to be reaching out to someone in need or someone you haven't connected with for some time to remind them that you appreciate them. So I encourage you to think about the possibilities between tonight and Sunday, and then launch into Lent on Monday with a new practice. And trying something during Lent is a temporary change. You may find it's not for you. I know Derwin and fasting, don't go together. Not the food part, anyway. And remember that the Sundays in Lent are not of Lent. So Sundays are a free day for you. You only practice your new discipline Monday to Saturday. And please, please, please don't despair if you fall off the wagon, so to speak. It's not the end of the world. Little kids fall all the time when they're learning to walk. But they don't give up, they get up. So just get back up and start again. We sang Psalm 103. Verse 14 of that psalm says, "For he knows whereof we are made, he remembers we are but dust." The he is God. He knows we are but dust and cares for us like a father does for his children. The creation account in Genesis 2 says, "God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So we are animated dust. Or if you like, we are walking, talking dirt. And God makes allowances for our limitations. God is compassionate and caring, like a parent for a child. So as I close, what will you do with Lent this year? Will you use it to reflect on your life in God? Will you take up something new as a discipline for the 40 days of Lent? Or maybe give up something to make time for God and others? Spiritual disciplines, which is what these activities are proven means of personal transformation. You might find you open yourself up to seeing life from a new perspective and discover in yourself a new attitude. So may the Holy Spirit walk with each of us as we journey through Lent this year. Amen.